I'll read about four verses, I guess. The 14th chapter of John, beginning with verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's verses 15 through 18. The 14th chapter of John. And I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago tonight, I had a little message on the Holy Spirit. Well, there's lots in the Bible about the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk about him a little more. In this text, it calls him the Spirit of Truth. Now, there's a Spirit in everything. He tells us in the 4th chapter of 1 John, in the first verse, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, I remember a time that in my meditations, the Scripture came to me. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the air, and none of them are without signification. They all mean something. Well, as I thought on that, then this scripture that I just quoted came to my mind also. In connection with that, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Things began to go together in my mind. Many voices, many spirits. The way it went together in my mind was that these voices are the voices of these spirits. They're doctrines. And there is a spirit in every doctrine in the world. There's a spirit promulgating that. Then the scripture says, the 16th chapter of Revelation, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the beast, out of the dragon, the mouth of the dragon, and the mouth of the false prophet. These are the spirits of devils working miracles. Now, the important thought there is where those spirits came from. They came out of the mouth. The mouth's what you speak with. And therefore, the spirit comes out of the mouth, it issues right forth in the doctrine. And it sums up to the fact that you receive that doctrine, you'll imbibe that spirit. There's a spirit in every doctrine. Now, The spirit of truth is in the true doctrine of God, in the Holy Scriptures, in God's holy word. The spirit of truth is in them. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, and all made to drink of the same spirit. Yes. Membership in the body of Christ, the Church of the Living God, is a spiritual operation. By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. There is a spirit in everybody. Speaking of groups of people now. There's a spirit in the body of Christ, and it baptizes people into the body of Christ. There is a spirit, and it's a sectarian spirit in every denomination in the world, and it'll baptize folks into that denomination. And there's a spirit in their doctrine. And to receive the doctrine is to imbibe the spirit. Therefore, to get the truth to people involves more than just telling them the truth. Why would that be? It's because they are under the power of a spirit that will not let them see the truth. Will not let them believe the truth. And if we do not have the spirit of truth in our hearts and working in our lives in sufficient power and measure to bind the spirit that is holding other people away from the truth, there's no way to get the truth to them. The spirit of truth is an important part of carrying on the work of God. To be in possession of the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth is your defense against error and against deception. The spirit of truth responds to the truth. Doesn't respond to anything else. When the truth is going forth, if the spirit of truth is in your heart, there'll be a response there. Yeah. It'll be just like a little man leaping in your soul. There'll be some inspiration there. If something contrary to truth is going forth, there'll be no response. The spirit will just lie down and be dormant in your heart. That is the way that God, through the Holy Ghost, guides you and me in all truth. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit is come, He will guide you in all truth. You may sit and listen to a message from an inspired minister of God. One that you have all confidence in. And the response will just be rolling in your heart. Truth going forth. But at some point in that message, something may come forth that isn't exactly clear. At that point, the Spirit of truth will just lie down. He'll not respond to that. I've heard messages going forth before now, and the saints just shouting the victory and amen, and then maybe somebody come out, the preacher come out with some private interpretation on some text of scripture that doesn't just correspond to the truth, and the amen's just let up. They just stop responding. When the Spirit of truth, if the first thing is to be sure you have the Spirit of truth. Then follow Him. Respond to His impulses. When He responds, you respond. Open your heart and mind. Accept that. Amen. When He doesn't respond, you don't respond. If there's no response in the soul from a person who has the Spirit of truth, then you can at least feel I better mull that over a little bit, put a little salt on that before I take that down. There's just no response, no outreach to take that in. The Holy Spirit is given to us to safeguard us against error and against deception and against being led off on any tangent, any kind of a way. If something's going on and God isn't in it, there'll be no response in your soul to that. And it is not good to try to make a response. The response will be spontaneous if the Spirit of truth is abiding in your soul. Now, if we reverence the Holy Spirit as we should and submit ourselves to be guided by Him, He'll guide us into truth. He'll guide us into all truth.
Amen.
He'll guide us into a proper understanding of any point of truth and keep us on track. That's what He's here for. That's His business. In the hearts and lives of saints is to just keep them on track and to keep them moving along in the line of truth. He says in the 26th verse of the 14th chapter of John, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 17 that I just discussed, Jesus has said, I'll send you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. This makes it clear that the Spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost,
yes,
whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the saints. And just as a mathematics teacher in a class teaches every member in that class that 2 and 2 is 4, everybody in there, they'll learn that. Same way, the Holy Spirit will teach every saint the same thing and give them the understanding that will correspond on any point of truth. The Holy Spirit will not teach me one thing and you another.
Amen.
But He will teach us both the same thing.
Amen.
Now, I'm much encouraged When I read of things that the Apostle Paul, now he's, in my mind, a champion of the Christian faith. I don't know how you would think about him, but I class him as the greatest among the apostles. And he says different times, I have learned. How did he learn? He was taught. Who was he taught by? The Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Well, the thing that encourages me and comforts me is that I have the same teacher he had. And therefore I can learn the same things he did. If I'll just submit myself to God and to His will and to be led by His Spirit, He'll just lead me into truth and teach me the same things that He taught the Apostle Paul. Paul learned them. Help me, God, to be a good learner.
Amen.
And I'll learn the things that Your Spirit would teach me out of Your Word. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the saints. And as already observed, He'll teach all of them just alike if He's doing the teaching. I've referred before to Brother John A.D. Conn, a converted Mohammedan and a native of Calcutta, India. And he was converted by reading a New Testament that a missionary had just left someplace when he passed through that way. And Brother Conn found the New Testament. And he read that New Testament, and by the truth that was revealed to him out of it, he was able to be converted. Converted from Mohammedanism to the truth. Now, it was some little time before Brother John A.D. Conn was ever permitted to have any contact with saints. But he was faithful to read that New Testament, and the Holy Spirit taught him. The time came when God permitted him to make a trip to this country. And he landed over here at Neosho Falls, Kansas, in a saints' camp meeting. My mother was there. She told me this, that he came into that camp meeting and he fit right in with the brethren there. And he was able to take the pulpit and preach the same truth that they were preaching. And he never had a teacher but the Holy Spirit, but it had taught him just like it taught the brethren here that we're engaged in teaching one another. My mother thought that Brother Conn, being so far away from home and the country different and the people different and everybody strange to him and all, that he must be pretty homesick. So she said to him one day, my mother was not a very tall woman, and Brother John Conn was tall. He's a tall fella. She had to kind of look up to him to talk to him. And she said, Brother Conn, don't you get awfully homesick over here, so far away from home, and the country different, and the customs different, and people different, and everything. And she said he just smiled down at her and said, Sister Maddie, how could I get homesick when I am at home? Why, he just flowed right in, fit right in. These were his brethren. He believed the same thing they did. And the only teacher he'd ever had was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, he'll teach everybody right, and he'll straighten us out on anything we're mixed up on. And when we get through, there'll be a unity of faith prevailing among the saints if we just let the Holy Spirit that God sent into the world and into the hearts of believers to teach them the truth. We'll have a unity of faith. The Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, Jesus said many things to his apostles. He taught them the whole overall truth. They forgot a lot of it. And among other things he taught them was that he was going to be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles and would be crucified and buried and rise again on the third day. And that went clear over their heads. They said such a thing couldn't be. Went clear over their heads. They forgot the whole thing. Until when Jesus was crucified, their spirits went down. They fell to the bottom. They were ready to go back to where they came from, fishing, whatever. But after that Jesus was risen from the dead and appeared to them, said then they remembered what he'd said to them. It came right up in their minds. They remembered all of these things. And what is written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John pretty well covers the entire scope of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And these folks could not possibly have remembered all of these things. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, he brought to their remembrance the things that Jesus had said till they could write them all down here in the New Testament for us. Amen. And we can get the message too. Amen. In the 59th chapter of Isaiah, in the 19th verse, we have a text like this, says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, that's a promise from God, but how does he do that? I say the biggest part of the time he does that by bringing to your remembrance some part of the Word of God that deals with that situation you're in right now. And sometimes you may not have thought of that for a long, long time. But you're in contact with some kind of a situation now that you need that. And the Holy Spirit just brings it right up to your mind. We have a text in the 119th Psalm, the 11th verse. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, all of us, and perhaps none of us, would not be able to remember everything that we hear. And a camp meeting's coming up here in a few days, and there'll be close to 30 messages. There'll be ordinance meeting out of that, and maybe some other special service, but there'll be close to 30 messages in that 10 days, and it would be not possible for any of us to remember everything that was said in all of those messages. But if we sit under the sound of them and keep our hearts and minds open and we accept the truth as the truth and receive it down into our hearts, it'll be stored away.
Amen.
I think of the heart as a great big warehouse. And there's a lot of storage going on there. If we have our hearts and minds open to the truth and the word going forth, and we're receiving it and accepting it as truth, it's going down there. We may not have it in here all the time, but it's down here. And the Holy Spirit abides in the hearts of believers, and He's the custodian of that warehouse down there. And He's supervising all that storage down there. And He knows just where everything is. And when the enemy is coming in like a flood against you, He knows right where to go and get that particular thing that you've stored away down there. And bring it out of there and get it right up here. And put it right in your mind till you'll know how to meet that situation that you're in contact with. And I'm sure that every one of you have had experiences like this, that in a time of trial or test, a scripture had come to your mind that you hadn't thought of for a long time, and sometimes you didn't even know that was in the Bible. You had to go look it up, see if it was in there. But He'd bring it to your mind, and you heard it back there somewhere, and you opened your heart and mind and received it down into your heart, and accepted it, submitted yourself to it, and that Holy Spirit who supervises all of that storage down in there got that all indexed, and He knows right where everything is, and He just goes right down there and gets it and puts it right up there when you need it. I recall a time when I was holding meeting in a place, and there was a young sister in that congregation, and she wrote my wife about a message that went forth in that meeting, and she said, I wanted to hold on to every point in that message. Said I was just straining to hold on to every point. But said the next morning when I woke up, I couldn't think of what the message was about, what scripture the preacher started with, how he progressed and developed his thought. I couldn't get a hold of anything about that message. Said it had just gone from me, and I couldn't think of a thing about it. And she said at different times during this year, she would try to reach back and get a hold of something in that message that would start it to unraveling to her, and said, I could not get a hold of a thing. But now this is about a year later, she wrote, she said, last week I was involved in some special things that message dealt with, and said I needed that message. And said, just in an instant, that thing opened up to me, and I began to bring it together, and said I could almost preach that message myself right straight through. The thing that she needed was there, but it wasn't right here. But she had sat attentive and listened to the message and received it down here. And it was stored away down there, and she'd forgotten all of it and couldn't get a hold of any point in it. But when the circumstance that she was involved in required what that message dealt with, the Spirit of God just went down there and got it and brought it up here. And she says, I had the whole message right there. I could almost preach it myself. Bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 9, he says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now that's the natural man. He's talking about the natural man there. And the natural man just doesn't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. And it has not entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, this is, the Holy Ghost, he searches out everything, the deep things of God, and he hath revealed them unto us. God sent the Holy Spirit into your heart and mine to reveal the truth to our souls. Amen. To reveal God's will to us. And to reveal to us God's way. And if we'll take God's way instead of our own and God's will instead of our own, the Holy Spirit can lead us plainly and clearly and keep us on course. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now this is Paul writing this. But Peter wrote the same thing when he said, "No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." That's not what we reason out, see. That'd be a private interpretation. It's what we think about things, or how it all stacks up in our minds, so to speak. That'd be a private interpretation. But he said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And the sense of it is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of the Bible to write the Bible to properly interpret the Bible to you and me. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And here at this point is where the big part of the religious teachers in the world today have missed the mark. Failing to compare spiritual things with spiritual. They are comparing spiritual truths with material things. And out of it comes a millennium and a rapture and all the things connected with that. And the lion eating straw like the ox, and the lamb and the kid and the lion all lying down together. And all of that failing to comprehend spiritual truths and compare spiritual things with spiritual. But comparing spiritual things with material and literal things, out of that comes all of these kind of doctrines that we have in the world today. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's God's word he's talking about. It's a spiritual message to the spiritual part of us. To our hearts, our spirit, our soul, our inward man. All summed up, the inward man. God's word is a message, a spiritual message from God to the inward man. It's spiritually discerned, and we cannot receive proper understanding of it only through the Spirit. Now in the 16th chapter of John, and the 12th verse, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. God help you and me to learn something here. Jesus was dealing with his disciples and shaping them up to be foundation stones in the church of God, but there were some things they were not able to receive at that time. And ye cannot bear them now. So he just didn't say them. I wonder if we ever kind of overstepped the mark with people we're dealing with and trying to bring into the truth by reaching out and bringing things to them that they're not capable of receiving yet. Jesus never made that mistake. He says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So he just left them unsaid. The scripture says in another place, with many such parables and things he taught them as they were able to receive it. He just taught them as they were able to receive it. Maybe we would catch more fish if we didn't put such a big load of bait on the hook to start with. We might be able to catch more fish. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, I say that the Holy Spirit is a faithful witness. And that is one of his works. One of his principal operations is to witness to your soul and mine concerning Jesus Christ and the gospel of God. Yes. And he is a faithful witness. Now let us look in the 16th chapter of John, beginning with verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now there's a lot of weight goes into this. There's a lot of emphasis back of this. And maybe we can get a little better idea of the weight and emphasis there is in this by considering the setting of it. Now here was Jesus with his chosen apostles, and he loved them dearly. And the scripture said, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He just had a true love for his apostles. And he loved them right on down to the end. He never ceased loving them. And they loved him. And they depended on him. And the relationship and fellowship between them was close and sweet. And they rejoiced in it, and he did too. Now, taken in a setting like that, it adds considerable weight to this statement Jesus made: it is expedient, or it's necessary, or it's better for you that I go away. You love me and I love you. And there's a close bond between you and me. But with all of that, it's still better for you that I go away. How could it be? The Holy Ghost would come in his place and broaden and expand the work of God beyond anybody's imagination. The apostles themselves never had an imagination as to where the gospel would go. And Paul, when he wrote the epistles that he wrote in the New Testament, he wrote more of it than any other writer. But he never had any idea how far that would go, or that it would reach down here to our time, or would be expounded throughout the whole world. He never had any idea of that. But the Holy Ghost has accomplished that.
Amen.
And brought that to pass. Jesus said, ye that believe on me, these things that I do, shall ye do also, and greater things than these, because I go to my Father. And those apostles couldn't comprehend that. They didn't understand what he was talking about. But how much greater has it been? Jesus was in a restricted area. He traveled by foot. He never got very far. But through the agency of the Holy Ghost, the work that Jesus began in this world, and that's what Luke opened up the Acts of the Apostles with, of all things that Jesus began both to do and to teach, the work of Jesus in his doing and in his miracle performing and in his saving and in his setting up the church of God and everything and the gospel of Christ and choosing men to perpetuate it. It was all just the beginning of something. He went away and the Holy Ghost came in and took over and expanded that, and it's still expanding and going to the ends of the earth. Now, it was better, even considering the closeness between he and his followers, the love he had for them and the love they had for him, it is still better for him to go away, because the Holy Ghost wouldn't come till he went away. But he said, if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove, the margin there says convince or convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Now, folks, let me tell you this. It takes a direct operation of the Holy Spirit on a person's conscience and upon their heart to convict them of sin. You can talk about sin all you want to. You can name all the sins there is in the catalog of sin. People are sitting right out there and hear the message and hear things named out there, things that they're involved in and guilty of, but they'll not feel a spark of conviction about any of it till the Holy Spirit begins to operate on their heart.
Amen.
That's His work. People in this world today, they've got a very far-fetched idea about what a Christian life is. And people today think they can be Christians and just go on living like they've been living before. Smoking, drinking, gambling, one thing and another. Prayer, they just have a very corrupt idea about prayer. I heard one man say, it was a neighbor of ours. No, I didn't hear him say this, but he said it to Brother Earl Forbes. Said, sure, I believe in prayer. I know it works. God answers prayer. Said, I lost so much money in the stock market, and I just prayed, God help me win it all back. Said, I got it all back. Said, God answered my prayer. Such an idea of people in their idea of a relationship with God. And the modern fad, now I used to never hear of anything like this in my younger days. But the way it works now, these big evangelists go out and they convert gangsters and they convert movie stars all of these folks, they just go on movie starring and gangstering and so on, but they're Christian gangsters now. And Christian movie stars. Just go on living like they've been living and just name the name of Christ. I suppose that the gangsters really quit gangstering. I don't know if they engage in any of those activities anymore or not, but I've known of some that professed Christ, and they were gamblers, and they just kept gambling. Well, that's the modern idea of Christian living. What'd you say?
That's the devil's idea.
Yeah. But the Holy Spirit will convince people of sin, what sin is. But it also takes the same Holy Spirit that convinces and convicts people of sin to convince and convict people of righteousness.
Yes.
One of the big problems in dealing with souls, you'll find numbers of souls that have sufficient light to know that what they're in isn't right, and they're unhappy with it. But at the same time, they don't have enough light to know where to go or what to do about it. That takes the Holy Spirit to lead them into the true body of Christ. If He leads them out of the denominations they're in and the errors they're in, it's still going to take the Holy Spirit to convince and convict them of truth and to lead them into the body of Christ. Let us realize, folks, that we cannot carry on the work of God without the Holy Spirit. We're in the Holy Ghost dispensation of time. And the Holy Ghost is the general overseer and supervisor of all the work of God that's going on in the world today, in your individual lives, in the church, or out there in the world. It's all being under the supervision of the Holy Ghost. And we cannot carry on any work for God, and we cannot maintain a church of God without the Holy Ghost. And we must have him in our hearts and in our lives. Sin and righteousness. Over in the Revelation, John said, I was in the Spirit. And it carried me away in the Spirit. The 19th chapter of Revelation. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and there he showed me that holy city, heavenly Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. The true church was revealed to his soul by the Holy Spirit. In the 17th chapter of Revelation, he said he was carried away by the Spirit down into the wilderness. And he saw a harlot riding on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy and abominations. That was the apostate church. But note, it took the same Holy Spirit to show him the error as it did the truth, and vice versa.
Amen.
And to reveal to him the apostate church or the true church. Took the same operation of the Holy Spirit to reveal those to his soul. He never could have seen the apostate church if he hadn't been carried away by the Spirit into the wilderness. He never could have seen the true church of God if he hadn't been carried away in the Spirit to an exceeding great and high mountain. It takes the same Holy Spirit to convince you and me of truth as it does to convince us of error. And that's true of every other soul in the whole world. His work is universal. And of judgment. You know why there isn't any fear of judgment before the eyes of the people in the world today? It's because they're too far out from under the influence of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Holy Ghost to put the fear of God on people's hearts. And it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal judgment to them. And that there's going to be a judgment. And what the judgment's going to be. And folks tell me that, in my estimation, they're steeped in sin. And they say, well, I'm not afraid to die. Well, did you know there's a judgment out there? Well, I'm not afraid of that. No fear of God before their eyes. Too far out from under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Takes the Holy Spirit to convince people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. People aren't worrying about judgment these days. People aren't afraid of death. That doesn't worry people today. It's because they're too far out from under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Can we by some means or other bring the Holy Ghost to them, closer to them, shed abroad the influence and power of the Holy Ghost that it might emanate from us and reach somebody? That's the only chance they have. Nothing can be accomplished for God in any definite way without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. That's true, folks.
Amen.
But the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And when we have the source of power and strength that the Holy Spirit gives, we can do everything He wants us to do. And carry on the work of God in an honorable and effective way. Amen.